Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble, the podcast that brings you lols. Well, we certainly hope so anyway. James or Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And I'm your host, Marcus Speller. And I'm here.
Good to see you, Marcus.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right then, lovely listeners and other people who happen to be passing by, the season has finished. And the World Cup's on its way. So we're just going to tell you what we're up to in the coming weeks and months. From this week onward, we've joined forces with Man Month, which is found at manmonth.co.uk. Very simple, straightforward. Which is a one-stop shop for everything that you need online throughout this magnificent tournament, which is called the World Cup. It's a big celebration of a great tournament, and I think we'll all agree it's a great excuse to have a sit-down on the sofa or in the pub with your mates, talk, watching football all day and all night. Personally, I can't ruddy wait. And this is all brought to you by the IGN Network and the 1 million fragrance for men, which will make you smell very attractive indeed.
And also to make it like even more entertaining, if that could be possible, at manmonth.co.uk, we're going to be uploading like videos and blogs and importantly, rambles.
They're going to see us with the videos.
They will actually finally get to see
faces
us.
Faces to names.
Yeah.
Lower your expectations.
Well, speak for yourself, Dave.
I think everyone will be very surprised to find out I'm actually an android. So.
You think that, but they won't.
And that I'm male. We're uploading the rambles as well, so that's all the way through from today all the way through to the end of the tournament.
That's right. But from June the 11th we must say when the tournament begins.
This is big news.
This is huge news. Two rambles a week.
Ooh, one Monday, one Thursday. Yeah. Thank you very much.
How are we going to top that? Two rambles a week? Yeah. Surely there's further news.
But can you top such a thing?
I don't know.
Are we doing three a week? No, we're not.
Would you all shut up?
Okay.
And for the final week of the World Cup, we're very excited to say, listeners, that we're going to be in Johannesburg.
I told you about to top that, and we have.
Yeah.
with the word Johannesburg.
Yeah, or Joburg.
For
week,
that will be the home of football and the home of the Rams. We'll be there.
Excellent.
Now, also, it's not all about us. No.
No. Well, before you move on to that, let me just shout, World Cup, we're going to World Cup, World Cup.
Anyone want to shout, I love footy?
I love footy.
But it's not all about us, it's about you lot as well. So,
inclusive.
Yeah, all inclusive. Come one, come all. At manmonth.co.uk, which is where we're going to be uploading all these lovely things, there's going to be competitions with some pretty decent prizes. So we haven't left you hanging. There's stuff for you as well.
We'll never leave you hanging.
So every week, starting the 4th of June, so the week before the World Cup, there's stuff you can win, like a home cinema system, which includes like an HD TV.
And a month before Independence Day.
No, exactly. PlayStation 3 with football games, Xbox 360s with DJ Hero and stuff like that. And what you need to do is you go over to manmonth.co.uk and pick a number between 1 and 1 million. And the nearest number to be drawn weekly at random will win these prizes. And this is all courtesy of Man Month and 1 million fragrance for men. See what I did there? Between 1 and 1 million, the fragrance is called 1 million.
Yeah, 47.
It works.
That's my number.
You can't
47. Do I win?
You're already going, Johannesburg. All right.
53. I've got the lot.
Yeah,
as long as it's between 40 and 53. Shut up, yeah?
Well, there we are, listeners. Manmonth.co.uk and the 1 million fragrance for men. But we do have a ramble to be getting on with, chaps.
We're going to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
You're not going to if you don't answer this question.
Hey.
What's been your favourite moment / lol of the season? And I would like you to go first, Pete.
Well, you said the word slash. Maybe Jens Lehmann doing a wee behind the...
What a link.
Good.
Where he not only does a wee, he does a wee on what seems to be a cameraman's box, where he keeps his cameras.
Did he sort of hide behind some advertising hoarding?
Yeah, but he looks
not
like he does it against
many cameras.
The game was going on.
Yeah.
He didn't wait for the game to stop.
That kind of link.
He's probably standing there thinking... do massively need a piss. If you do concede,
down,
is it that bad?
He has
basically just sort of accepted a goal there to go and do
That
would have been a glol as well.
A glol, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, so you're going for that then, Pete?
It's a good shot.
I'm going for that. Jens Lehmann doing an ablution.
James or Jim?
I'm going to go for that magical night in Buenos Aires when Argentina...
Not the belly
played,
flop.
Yeah, the belly flop night when Argentina played Peru, and it looks very, very much like they were going to go out of the World Cup before they even got there. And then, obviously, Martin Palermo scored a very, very late goal.
Can
and
you use his full
crazy.
Name, please?
Sorry, Saint Martin Palermo. And it also... Because it was absolutely lashing it down, wasn't it? You couldn't see it. There was rain on the camera. It was absolutely... It was just chaos.
Biblical rain.
Brilliant.
Race,
and Peru very nearly scored from the kickoff straight after that. And Nobby Solano was playing. What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
There's all these immediately like iconic images as well with all the rain lashing
Can
down.
Can I call it a perfect
Palermo.
Storm?
It was a perfect
it's
storm.
It's one of the first times when you say, what more do you want, where I sort of think, nothing.
No.
Yeah, it's just brilliant.
It was all there. I actually, my mate Sean, he hadn't seen that game. Hmm. And I was talking to him recently.
Well,
I
watched it and I didn't see it.
No, but he didn't know anything about it. And I was like, oh, he was saying to me, we were talking about like moments of the season. And I said, well, the Maradona belly flop was good. And he's like, what's that?
Yeah.
I was like, what? But like, my face lit up.
Come with me.
But I was always like, oh, brilliant. I get to tell this firsthand.
Yeah. Great stuff.
And for the next half an hour, I did.
and then you said Bruce Willis was a ghost. Loads of things you could have seen. Yeah.
Lukey Moore.
I'm going to go for the John Terry Wainbridge handshake.
Nice and positive.
That never was. That never
very,
was.
Very dramatic.
Shall we reenact it? There we are.
Ooh.
one thing that went unnoticed is that John Terry got himself a new haircut for that. He had like a new haircut.
It was a fin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a fin, yeah.
Craig Bellamy made a show of not actually looking at him as well.
He looked the other way. Yeah.
And his comments afterwards were quite fun as well.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
If
everyone
you like
knows what he's
angry,
like.
Angry,
yeah.
No necks, little bastards.
But I like the whole episode because they changed the protocol, like we said before, where what should have happened is John Terry should have offered his hand, and then Wainbridge would have had to refuse to shake it. But obviously, the referee didn't want that to happen because he knew the shake wasn't going to take place, so he swapped it so the Man City players went past the Chelsea players.
Mm-hmm.
So then Wainbridge had an opportunity to not offer his hand. I thought that was an interesting moment. I thought it was an excellent story.
Season Turner.
It's things like we can
Team Bridge.
Yeah, exactly. I'm firmly in the Team Bridge camp.
Yeah. I think we all are.
But I think we can have a laugh about it and say, you know, it's not what football's all about. But it absolutely is what the Rams are.
Yeah.
I think we should acknowledge that we wouldn't really exist if that sort of thing didn't happen.
Yeah. It was like the WWE, wasn't it? It was like
definitely a distinct lack of chairs. I was
the only difference between that and WWE would be if like he refused to shake his hand and then like twisted his arm round, got him in like a headlock and then submission holding.
And then the wife in question came over and
with a steel chair and hit him
and someone scored. By cheating with perhaps a steel chair, and it was just all right.
Someone
just okay
because someone was distracting the referee.
Stone Cold Steve Bennett, perhaps.
Well, you've all gone for lols, haven't you?
Yeah.
I was going to go for maybe Fulham's Europa League run. Particularly highlight of Fulham beating Juventus 4-1.
That particular game was absolutely superb stuff.
But then, so that would probably maybe my moment of the season, but I'm going to chuck in a few lols as well.
Okay.
Arsene Wenger being sent up to the Manchester United fans.
That was great. When he's standing with his arms stretched out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was wonderful work. And on Soccer Saturday, when they went to Chris Kamara, and they went, Cammy, there's been a sending off.
Oh, yeah.
Is there, Jeff? I must have missed that.
if
you haven't seen that, seriously, YouTube it, because it is superb. But we've got some points to dish out, haven't we? Pete Donaldson.
Oh, hey. Well done, Pete.
It's on a roll.
I was actually going to go for the toothbrush man, to be honest. I'm glad I didn't.
He was good as well.
Chelsea,
is brushing his teeth. Chelsea,
No one else clapped because he'll feel like he's been put in the Dean Wendell Hall of Fame, and he hasn't. Only one person can clap.
Yeah, you haven't.
Well done, Pete.
The FA Cup final has been won by Chelsea.
Mm. Really good game, isn't it?
One of the most enjoyable
squib.
Even as a Pompey fan, even one of the most enjoyable cup finals of many a year. I'd say.
Was it five times in the end Chelsea hit the woodwork?
Chelsea hit the woodwork more times in the first half than Pompey did all season. That's a fact.
Is that right?
That's an Opta Joe fact.
Thanks, Opta Joe.
You were there, Luke, of course.
I was. And I was saying to you on the train up here.
You were.
Two seats, was it?
Good one. The moment... The moment between Pompey getting awarded the free kick and him missing it was the
penalty.
3 minutes. Mm. Yeah, the penalty, not a free kick. The 3 minutes was the only 3 minutes I thought we might win.
Yeah. But it just seemed inevitable, even when Drogba was lining up for that free kick, that was going to go in.
Well, when I said that, do you know what Marcus said to me? Yeah, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? It's the hope that kills you.
It's the not knowing.
Yeah. Even the goal come off the post.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
amazing.
Now it was a good game. The pitch was a bit of a state again, but that was always going to be the case. It was almost the other way this time. It was really dry, the pitch.
I had visions of yourself and Avram Grant walking around that Wembley pitch, like trying to just dig it up as much as possible the night before.
Yeah, like when Torres trying to kick up the penalty spot.
That's right.
Should have done that.
Speaking of pitches, Friday night I was. Playing football.
You were, Pete. Where were you playing?
The hallowed turf of the Emirates, Marcus.
Oh,
how was that?
I spent so much time just touching the grass.
Was this like an F-list celebrity
game?
It was like F-list of F-list. Gordon Smart played.
What, bizarre?
Bizarre.
Sun newspaper.
Gordon Smart. Not so smart on the football field. Didn't even get to the semis.
Did you win?
No, we came second.
You got beat in the final.
We got beat in the final by a header on. Come on small goals. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not high the target, but it's good though.
Who presented you with the medal?
Ray Parler and Martin Keown.
That's nice.
Martin Keown, can't stand him as a pundit. What a nice guy, though.
Was he?
How was the Romford Pele?
The Romford Pele was good. He was just he was in a less jocular mood, but Martin Keown just spent all his time just taking the mick out of our rather Rubenesque striker we had. We borrowed from one extra. But it was called Triple T, but he scored two goals. Big fat sort of...
Well, he got through to the final. No disgrace, mate.
Yeah.
Well done, Pete.
But what a pitch. What a stadium to play football.
They did a thing a little while ago for the junior gunners where they let them all play on the pitch and then had them just camp on it afterwards. And the thing on the website that was just sort of advertising this was a picture of Aboué in a tent on the pitch just grinning like a maniac.
His tiger suit.
Yeah.
Aboué would love that, wouldn't he?
You can imagine the FA doing that at Wembley. So what you can do, your kids, you can play on the pitch and then all your kids can camp on the pitch. I mean, how does that sound? All the parents go, yeah, it sounds great. Yeah, it's £5,000 each. £5,000 each.
I like, isn't there a picture of our Sharvin in a
oh tent? Yeah, in a scouts uniform.
What's that from?
I don't know.
It's one of those things where you look at it and think, you know, I'm not going to check that, I'm just going to accept it.
Yeah. You can imagine our Sharvin and someone seeing him, what, you're doing a photo shoot, are you? No.
No? Well, he has got a fashion range. Maybe he's just very pretentious.
What, a scout's fashion range?
Very pretentious.
Fashion for scouts.
I run a fashion range specialising in adult scout wear.
I have a great range of woggles.
Yeah. Oh,
pretty woggles.
There you go.
That deserved better.
The Scottish Cup final was decided.
Good Willie with a lovely one from downtown.
He's had a great season on Good Willie. Dundee United beat Ross County 3-0. Again, the big boy beat the underdog. Yeah,
they weren't Dundee United that day, were they?
That's right, in reference to what we talked about on Ramble Extra last week. Playoffs.
What a penalty. Oh. What's his name, Jim?
Kermagon.
Yeah.
For Leicester.
Unbelievable.
Championship playoff semi-final.
He chipped it.
Leicester versus Cardiff City. Penalty shootout.
He chipped it. The keeper dived and sat down, and by the time the ball got to him, he just put his hand out.
He just almost slapped it away in deference of what the guy tried
and
to do.
And he followed that and tried to slot it in, and he sort of thought about claiming it.
Oh, just what an unbelievable... But it's arrogant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Pearson's face was like thunder.
Yeah. Apparently to be fair, only scored like two or three goals.
To be fair, a little chip like that, you know, was it Totti? Did it in the semi-final of European Championship?
Francesco Totti.
Zinedine Zidane in a World Cup final.
Yeah, they've earned that.
Okay.
Zinedine Zidane is the best player of the last 20 years.
But even then, he nearly missed it, Dan. It was only just over the line.
To think that was precision.
Oh, you've got to be gutted for Leicester. I mean, that's the second most controversial decision made at their club all week. Regarding the alleged comments by Wayne Brown.
If I was manager of Leicester and I saw there's a penalty shootout coming up and I've got a few fancy Dans in my team, I would grab them and say, laces through it.
Through
it, or it's 2 weeks' wages.
But that's the sort of thing you would think you don't need to say. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Ashley Cole said when he was was taking a penalty for England against Portugal.
Did he just say that?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then, Chelsea, yeah.
In Euro 2004, when England lost, obviously.
He took a great penalty in that game, to be fair.
He did take a decent penalty, but he said he always likes to dink it. And he said that these mates after went, oh, you bottled that. And he was like, well, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a I'm Ashley Cole, yeah. International football.
Yeah, yeah, it's a quarter final.
I don't believe that story because Ashley Cole clearly doesn't have mates.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it falls down. It falls down.
Maybe he's completely reasonably thinking, you know, if there's one more thing I can do to make myself look like a tit, I'm not going to sort of miss a penalty by dinking it.
Yeah. Very true. Blackpool and Cardiff are in the final.
What a set of games to get to that final. They're both just unbelievable.
Oh, that brilliant game, that Forest Blackpool second leg was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. One of the best football games I've seen this season.
Really?
Genuinely,
lovely bit. And it would have been good, Leicester Forest final. Yeah. Oh, how good would that have been?
Yeah. Mm. No disrespect to the other two teams. Like I said, done well. Holloway's done a great job. But what I say to you about momentum, they hit momentum exactly the right time.
That's right. To be honest with you, I think Cardiff are probably more equipped, I think, but we'll all agree, than Blackpool to play in the Premier League.
I think they've been knocking on the door for a lot longer.
But I would like to see Blackpool.
Well, Blackpool to go to Forest and score four Forest, who've got an unbelievable record at home defensively. Yeah. I don't think they've conceded many goals at all. I think they've only lost one game at home all season.
And they beat Forest four times over the season, didn't they? So
it must have been the game. Yeah, must have been the game then. Yeah.
Unless I forget who scored the bloody goals.
DJ Campbell.
And you don't see many teams playing in orange in the Premier League.
No.
So it's true. Get them up. In the conference, Oxford are up.
And everyone was crying.
Oxford 3, York 1.
Did you see how many people were crying?
Lots.
The Oxford players were crying. The York City fans were crying. The Oxford United fans were emotional. Adam Chapman, the guy who got interviewed for Oxford in the
Post-League. It's so much better than the boat race.
yeah.
York City, you're tragic.
Was there a young Rupert from South American football.co.uk crying?
He was.
He's an Oxford fan.
He's very pleased.
But I spoke to him today, and he was on cloud nine.
Well, the interview of Adam Chapman after the game, where he was clearly crying.
Yeah.
And he sort of pulled himself together. And then the interviewer said to him, oh yeah, and you also got voted man of the match. He started welling up again. He was just the icing on the cake. That's the icing on the cake.
4 year absence from the Football League.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done to them.
It's gone quick, that. Rupert
described it as 4 years of hurt.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough.
York City shouldn't be down there either, though, to be fair.
Exactly.
That's a haul.
There's a lot of decent sized teams in that league.
Yeah. From the conference to the Europa League, bit of a shift, but we're going to do it anyway. Unfortunately, for Fulham, Atletico Madrid won.
It's a horrible way to win.
They looked absolutely knackered.
How many games did they play?
63 games this season with a small squad.
That is awful. That is an awful amount of games.
Such a shame. I think if Zamora was fit, then. Well, Atleta are a better side than Fulham. Let's not kill ourselves here. But Fulham didn't. After he went off, they tried to sort of put gear up front, and they didn't really have any attacking.
I think in finals like that, or in any final really, it's the team that can stick to their most natural game immediately but tend to do better, because it is a big situation. Yeah. A lot of those players have never been in that situation and may never be again, and it must be incredibly overawing. And Fulham looked a bit at sea to start with, and they eventually sort of dug in. Once they got their goal, they sort of started playing their natural game a bit more, but I think Atletico just seemed more comfortable the whole way
through.
Just
much more experienced than
European. For the first 20 minutes of the second half, Fulham actually dominated it, but unfortunately they just didn't have anything up front, really.
Zamora's record in Europe has been brilliant. It's in 9-9, I think he's got more goals in Europe than he has in the league.
But it's a shame for Fulham, because they're not in Europe next season, and when are they going to be in Europe again, you know, with the emergence of the likes of City and obviously Liverpool dropping down a pecking order, Spurs and all
it's
the rest
for them. Their best chance is to get in a cup competition next season.
Yeah, very
something
much
like
so.
A League Cup maybe. It's a shame for them, and I mean, whatever way you look at it though, you don't want to be patronising, but that's a great season for them in Europe. It's the first time in their history they got to the European final.
That's right.
And they're unlucky after extra time. You know, they played well. I think like you say, Marcus, I agree that Atletico are a much better team, but they had every chance to get taken up to penalties and they could have won it.
It's a shame that it came off Hangeland for the winner, because he's been an absolute rock. He's such a good player.
Not classic goals from Atletico, is it?
No. But I mean, Aguero's such a handful.
My goodness. In the league that Aguero plays, the Primera Liga, Barcelona have won.
They have.
Yeah, that was a cakewalk.
Yeah. Well, they almost seem disappointed that they've only won the league. You know what I mean? Well, coming off the back of such an incredible season, or year, really.
Guardiola apologised to the fans after the league, saying, you know, sorry, we're not in the Champions League final.
Sorry, I've only delivered you 7 trophies in 2 years.
I know. Real Madrid are probably thinking, this is the kind of attitude we need to have. Let's get him.
They didn't even win. They drew one
they
all the way
up.
to Malaga, was it?
Well, Barcelona, for the first 20 minutes, looked dodgy, and Valladolid had about 4
Malaga,
or 5
Malaga went ahead.
Yeah. Mm. I know. Duda scored. But Barcelona really struggled for the first 20
Valdez
minutes.
Valdez made a couple of sort of very silly
uncharacteristic
decisions.
Uncharacteristic errors, really strange.
Puyol made an incredible block to stop what was essentially an open goal. It was brilliant.
Is it from Minucho?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Mm. But then, I mean, like we said last week, the chance they had to slip up was against Sevilla, and they didn't do that, and they weren't going to slip up. Yeah.
That point Malaga got helped them to survive on 37 points, with Tenerife and Valladolid on 36. So they both went down, and finished bottom with 34.
Very tight. Real to give Malaga a
yeah, that's well, right. Very tight, though, down the bottom there.
Real Madrid have been harping on about how they're going to sort of spend loads and loads of money again this summer. Well, they borrowed a lot of the money for the transfers last year, and I don't know if anyone's noticed, but there's a bit of a global economic crisis going on. So they might want to think about that.
They need the Galacticos.
Who's left to buy?
They need some more Galacticos.
In fairness, it will be interesting because Laporta leaves Barcelona now. So they've got a new president coming in, so it'll be interesting to see how
that Cameron? Is that how it works? I don't know.
it's Cameron in a coalition with, I don't know. No, but I was going to say that, and Guardiola, there's been question marks over his future for a few months now. So in a weird way, it might be a start of a bit of a transitional period for Barcelona, which then gives Real Madrid, because it's such a two-horse league, and it has been this season.
Well, there's a strong chance that Mourinho could end up at Real Madrid. Well, he's even said, hasn't he? Yeah. He'll end up there sooner or later, and absolutely. It now seems ideal if they sack Pellegrini, which, as their track record suggests, they probably will do.
Yeah. Mm. The thing is that Inter and Bayern are both going for a treble.
Mm. Yeah. So Bayern, did you see the German Cup final at all? I watched the highlights on FootyTube, right? And on FootyTube, the highlights, they have English translations. Mm. And it's so brilliantly German, the way the guy speaks. If someone scores a winning goal, they've scored the win, right?
and just efficient.
Setting something up.
Win, FDW.
If you make an incredible assist, it's, oh, that's a brilliant preparation. It's glorious. I urge anybody to watch it. It's on FootyTube now.
I'll tell you what, all this talk about Bayern, FC St. Pauli are going to do a job on them next season.
Yeah, let's hope.
Fancy him.
Big time.
Fancy for top four.
Big time. Oh, don't.
Great stuff.
We must move on.
They're the Fulham of Germany.
If they got a big cash injection, they just burn it in the middle of the pitch. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be class. In Serie A, Inter have won the league. They beat Siena on the last day. Roma finished second. Milan finished third. Sampdoria got the fourth spot.
Yeah, that's first nice. Time in ages.
So hopefully we can see Cassano
in
their Europe.
Steep stadium.
Yeah, very steep, isn't it?
Cassano will come up with some sort of way to not be in the Champions League next year. But Del Neri's moving on, isn't he, anyway?
Yeah, the manager is. Well, it is a shame to Juventus, probably. Mm. Well, the Sampdoria said he's going to Juventus, so you'd imagine he probably is.
He's got a fair amount of stick over the season from fans via Cassano.
Yeah, not the easiest man to manage.
No.
Turkish league.
Yeah, that was funny.
Talk us through it, Luke.
Well, what happened was, remember we had that email about the Schalke? Basically, that happened. Because Fenerbahce...
That was last week on the show.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Fenerbahce were a point ahead of Bursaspor, and they only drew at home. But apparently, though, the stadium announcer announced that Bursaspor had also drawn. So all the Fenerbahce fans before the pitch started celebrating, and then what happened was Bursaspor scored like a late winner. But what happens if you're the announcer?
Yeah, I know,
and that
yeah.
comes through, and you're in Turkey. They're going to go mental. They're going to go
in
mental.
In the age of the internet, iPhones, radio still working as far as I'm
concerned.
It's not good enough.
No,
it really isn't good enough.
No. That man will be on fire still. There's not a flare big enough to throw at him.
Dear he's idea. Probably on a spit in a kebab shop as we speak.
But Marcus, like you say, it shouldn't happen.
Why is it though? Do you know what
if
I mean?
If you get one thing right all season
is where you've finished in the league. You know?
He just wanted to be the bearer of good news, and he just crossed his fingers. Basically. He wants to take the credit vicariously through someone else.
My goodness.
And lads, we're not going to Johannesburg.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to say.
We were going to, but at the last minute.
World Cup. Let's talk about the World Cup.
No.
All right. Oh. Well, let's kill time for the last bit. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about the World Cup. You can join in if you like.
I'm excited. apart from what I said just then.
Right, okay. Excited.
I'm giddy at the idea.
No, there was... I couldn't help myself, but the other day on YouTube, I looked up a couple of little Roberto Baggio goals from World Cup 90, and I'll go up for it.
And the high school finish.
If only we could have something like Nessun Dorma.
Yeah, I know.
It's just like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that'll never happen again.
It won't.
Nessun Dorma came, it was in a billion, trillion, zillion.
It makes the hair on the top of my head stand up.
Like. Makes the hair on my teeth stand up. But as you correctly predicted, I think, last week, James, they've re-recorded three lines.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't even know that was going to happen.
Have they really?
Apparently they have.
Robbie Williams, Russell Brand.
Hey, seriously?
They're all involved. Some opera singer.
Well, a couple of womanizers.
Yeah, exactly.
Singing about the English womanizing team. So,
yeah. Fitting.
Can I say it's all a big shame?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But the real reason.
I expect better of Brand, I must say.
Yeah, I do as well. Did the 30-man provisional squad that Fabio Capello picked disappoint any of you chaps?
More confusion.
Yeah. A certain defender.
Yeah. Well, you leave them leaking out of this. He's done well this season.
You're not happy with the...
I prefer that someone had left Jamie Carragher out of this. Yeah. If
he's going to pick Jamie Carragher, why wouldn't he pick Sol Campbell?
Big Sol got annoyed, didn't he?
So he should.
Goals on Sunday.
Yeah.
He started referring to himself in the third person. Get out. Everyone get out. Yeah. He started referring to himself in the third person.
Here we go.
Can we clear the studio, please, and call this man a taxi? I didn't actually see him on goals on Sunday, but he started referring to himself in the third person. So in my head, he was dressed in his football kit from the weekend.
Didn't he say something like, if Sol Campbell can't get in the best 30 or 45 players in England, then something else is happening? Jim Campbell thinks that's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Why 30 or 45?
To be fair, he might be in the top 45, but it is a provisional 30.
Yeah.
So he could be in the top 31.
It's not a chart countdown.
Yeah.
As I said last week, that man is a clodder. He just clods the ball.
But on a serious point, I'd rather him than Jamie Carragher in there.
No, I mean, that's what he said.
Oh, sorry, your Carragher's
rather than Campbell.
Because
I don't think he'll make
the... Do you know why Carragher said he accepted the call to
work under Capello or something?
No, because he said, well, because Liverpool aren't in the Champions League next season, then, you know, I want to kind of...
Want some personal glory.
The thing is, though, Jim...
That was his reason.
No, yeah, I remember you saying...
How very good of you, Jim.
Thanks for putting yourself out. I'll just be the first to thank you on behalf of the rest of the public.
You have a nice rest when the tournament's over, yeah?
But Jim, you say he won't be in the final 30, but then what's the point of making a whole big deal of calling him up?
I know, exactly. Well, he's going to be there. I swear he's going
to
be there.
I mean, also, though, he, much to his dislike, I'm sure, he does double up as a fullback.
Mm. I bet Dawson will be cut. And I reckon Dawson and Warnock will be cut. And I'll tell you what, I'll feel absolutely devastated on behalf of Michael Dawson. He's had a brilliant season. Yeah. And he deserves to be there over Carragher.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously what goes against him, though, is that he hasn't yet to play for England.
There is that. And you've got the other two things you can factor. If you want to be balanced about it, you want to factor it in. In Carragher's favour, he can play fullback, and he's also more experienced as playing in a back three, which is talk of happening, isn't it?
Well, I mean, one positive thing about Jamie Carragher is when the chips are down, he's a good backs to the wall defender, which England will inevitably need in any major tournament.
You're thinking of the Algeria game.
Only because he hasn't got the place to take himself away from the wall. So he has to be on the wall.
Yeah, he's good point there. Mm. He is happy defending deep.
Yeah.
I think you'll agree. Did you find it funny that he tried to bring Paul Scholes out of international retirement?
I
wouldn't have been opposed for Scholes to go in.
He's worth his weight.
But do you think
ginger.
But do you think there's... is there an air of... Not desperation's the wrong word, but, you know, suddenly he looks at these players who hadn't played for England for a good few years, and he's trying to get them back last minute. Mm. I mean, does that surprise you?
It's a strange one, because Capello did sort of come in on a wave of players, pick players on form, not on reputation.
Yeah.
There's a great amount of quality players that are eligible for England. And now when he goes back and sort of picks players who are arguably injured, and not only that, he goes back and picks players of sort of tournaments gone by, it does seem a bit strange.
Yeah. Well,
and then that Capello index thing came out, which is also a little bit...
Just badly timed, though.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
More than
I don't think it's that much of a big deal, but no. I thought it was a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
I think you sort of assume that Capello's, Tim Capello's above that sort of thing. Mm.
Yeah.
But,
he should be, shouldn't he? That's the reason they got him in.
Well, everyone likes money, don't they?
Yeah.
I would think that he's probably been trying to get Scholes and Carragher to come out of retirement basically his whole time in charge.
Right.
And it's just come out now.
You reckon?
Imagine. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think
Paul Scholes,
right.
What an asset. What a great player.
That's
I mean,
a
that
big
sort
call.
Of experience.
That's a big call us to turn that down, to be honest. one last hooray.
But it's also a big call to call him out, given that you've got players who've been... the whole thing when we talked about that 3 months ago, Marcus, if you remember, about Francesco Totti, who was saying, well, I haven't ruled it out and stuff. It's a bit like, well, hang on a minute, these players have got you there. You know, so is it fair to bring...
Well, that's right.
You know.
But I think you've got to give yourself the best possible chance. We've seen from Paul Scholes that even this season, he is a match winner. But well, then an experienced match winner at a high level.
Well, let me put this to you boys then, all three of you. Would you take Paul Scholes, if he agreed, over James Milner? Who's worked his socks off all season.
It's not as simple as just picking a particular
player. I'd have him over Tom Huddleston.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
but also, though, on that token, if Bobby Zamora was fully fit, I'd have him. And he hasn't played any of the qualifiers.
Didn't Zamora turn it down?
Well, he was offered the chance to call up, but he really is injured, as you could see in the Europa League final, and he had to come off in that game, which he really shouldn't have been playing in.
Yeah.
And I think for Zamora's point of view, he's probably thinking, I am injured, so there we are, I can't go. Also, often players like Zamora only get one chance at international. I mean, we've seen it with other strikers, they get 20 minutes and boom, that's it.
Yeah. Andy Johnson, anyone?
Yes, right, yeah. We've given the full 90 away to Israel. Zamora probably thinks, if I turn up, I'll be limping all over the shop, I won't go anyway, I'll get fit, and then hopefully, as Capello said, he'll be in his plans next, or in his mind certainly next season, and maybe European Championships.
Well, sensible thing.
But in my opinion,
and Capello will appreciate that.
But I think it runs the risk of having a bad season next season. That's the problem.
It's Bobby Zamora.
He's had bad seasons before.
He will be such a target if he does have a bad World Cup.
Well, I hope not. I hope not.
No, but if he were to go and he was injured.
Oh, but he will be if he has a bad season next season.
But I think this is it. He's injured. You know, we can talk about, well, did he turn it down? He's injured. It's as simple as that.
I don't actually think he's good enough anyway, as a side point.
And I think Paul Scholes didn't fancy it. Asthma, playing Sunburn. Height.
And the Paul Scholes Academy, where he's going to be between the 14th and the 17th of June.
Yeah. Got stuff on.
In Orlando. Yes,
he's best man at Cassano's wedding. it's normally a sunburn issue, but South Africa's going to be in the winter, so he should be right. Did anyone tell him that? He might reconsider.
Well, playing at height, you know what I mean?
But
he's booked in. I mmean, some of these kids have paid over £300 to be coached for him, by him in those few days.
Would you pay £300 to be coached by him, Marcus?
Oh, absolutely.
Could he teach you anything?
8 a.m. till 2 p.m. every day for 3 days.
Not bad, is it?
Not bad at all. James.
Barry's injured, and there's talk that England are going to play with 3-5-2.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I can't see us
doing that.
Well, I think Scott Parker's surely in there to see if he can cover that role, if Barry is...
I think Parker will be cut, though.
Yeah.
From the third.
Well, I do as well, but I think obviously that's why Capello's having a look at him.
I think if Barry's injured, I think Parker will go.
We'll wait and see.
We will do, indeed. One man who looks as though he's going to be on the plane is Dybeck.
Yeah, he will be.
In a coaching role?
Yeah. Well, it's not really good.
It's more of a...
he'll be on the coach.
Team encourager.
Yeah. and good.
There's talk of him sitting on the bench as well with the boys.
I would like to see
that. Well, he's got to have some leg room, isn't he?
Yeah. Look, if you're going to use him to basically launch the World Cup bid, then use him for footballing reasons as well. Yeah. He's been in tournaments before. You know, he can make... Look, you know, it sounds a bit sort of trite, but he could say to a young player at half-time, in extra time, of a big, important knockout game, look what I did he speaks to Adam Johnson who goes and plays.
Yeah.
Look, in 98 I did this, I lashed out and got sent off, I did something stupid. If you've got a young player on a booking in a pressure cooker atmosphere, he could really take the sting out of it and use his experience to help players.
Do you think that's a bit patronising maybe?
Why?
He could read from his World Cup book that he presented.
There you go.
There are a decent number of young players in that squad, and there's likely to be whoever gets cut, and a big thing you quite often hear about having experienced players in the squad alongside that is that younger players are almost frightened to let those players down.
Right.
And I think having someone like David Beckham there is going to sort of enhance that. I think it's definitely going to be a positive
thing. Maybe then he should take along Peter Beardsley and go, oi, you lose, Beardo will cry.
Yeah.
Screw that horrible face up. Then where will we be?
You'll never sleep again.
That's right. Sam Allardyce has gone mental at Fabio Capello, saying that Paul Robinson should be in the squad. Not just in the squad, but starting, by the sounds
of it. Sam Allardyce is clearly so annoyed that he got overlooked for the England job, and now he knows he's never going to get it, and he's just really bitter.
So you think...
I hope a bee flies into his mouth when he doesn't realise, in between chomps of his chewing gum.
No, I don't... if I could be... If I,
childish.
On a serious note, you know, I don't mind Sam Allardyce bigging up his own player. You know, there's obviously more than one reason he's doing that. He's not doing it... He's doing it to sort of give confidence to Paul Robinson. He obviously felt probably a bit let down that he's not in the World Cup squad.
He has had a good season, to be fair.
He has, and that's fair enough. From a manager's point of view, that's fine. But to say stuff like... you know, what Capello has done is a big, big mistake. Well, hang on a minute. Capello's won the Champions League, pal. Yeah. You know, yeah. Capello's done stuff. He knows what he's talking about. Don't worry about it. You know, you don't... There's probably not much that he knows. Sorry, there's probably not much that you know that he doesn't know. Mm. You know, so at least give him respect.
Diners in Bolton?
Yeah, possibly.
As Allardyce sort of trapping off for no real reason. You know what I mean? There's no positive to come from it.
Well, it's not only just... The thing is, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, it's not just a case of him bigging up Paul Robinson. He's slagging off Capello in indirectly. He's saying Joe Hart's not experienced enough and David James is spasmodically in and out because he's injured.
Yeah, it's undermining the goalkeeper.
He doesn't even mention Rob Green.
No, yeah.
Which is,
probably,
I think,
start.
Yeah,
I would think.
Well, it'd be him or David James, I think.
He doesn't cover himself in glory very often, Sam. No.
Just gravy.
On or off the...
Ronaldinho, Adriano and Pato. All the O's. And Ronaldo, but I think we knew he wasn't going to make it. They won't be in South Africa.
Well, Pato's not a massive surprise because he has had a lot of injury problems this season. Yeah. I think it's his knee, a cruciate ligament injury or something. Yeah.
Well, Adriano's agent said, yeah, fair enough.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Adriano was like, oh, cheers, mate. Yeah. You must be bigging me up.
He says, yeah.
Now, have you got me that sitcom or what?
Yeah. I think, yeah, if he doesn't want
to... Agent. His agent going to meetings with clubs. To be honest, he's probably a League Two player at best. So you don't want to be paying too much.
He has been dog shit this year.
Yeah. 30 grand a week, are you sure? Yeah. 15 grand maximum.
Ronaldinho is a shame, I think.
Yeah, well, he was in the 30-man squad, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, but Dunga just took... He's taken the 23. He knows that Dunga is a man with a plan, I think.
Absolutely. And some terrible clothes designed by his daughter.
Is that true?
Yeah, he has terrible fashion sense. It's because his daughter's a fashion designer.
Oh, right.
But she clothes him.
His hair. Oh,
his daughter's Andrea Sharvin. He's a big fan of the old roll neck, isn't he? And the flat top.
No, his daughter's a fan of the old roll neck.
He looks like a man who stepped out of, like, just stepped out of the Vietnamese jungle.
I was going to say,
he's
militant.
Finding it hard to
militant.
Sort of, yeah.
That's not an excuse. Well, he has to wear his daughter's clothes.
Yeah, he does. He's helping her out.
It's always an excuse. It's more of an explanation. I can't imagine Dunga ever having been a child.
No.
Just, he would have the same sort of... I just picture his old head on a small child body.
Same with Franz Beckenbauer.
You know that you know that Dunga doesn't like Ronaldinho. I've told you this before. In one of Dunga's final games when he's back in Brazil, Ronaldinho is one of his first games, and he took the piss out of him, nutmegged him a few times and stuff.
I think he is actually. I think he actually likes him.
That's just a rumour I've heard.
I think that definitely happened. Yeah, no, and I've seen the footage. It's a magnificent piece of skill. Yeah. I just think that Ronaldinho's been too in and out, and suddenly when it was threatened, you're not going to play in South Africa. Oh crap! And he's tried to sort of scramble a few performances
in
together.
Big games where it's looked like Ronaldinho has been back to his best. And he's really been needed. He's not
start
delivered.
Season. He was great, you know, and he's really gone downhill.
It's a shame.
Argentina,
another man with a plan. El Diego. Quite what that plan is anyone's guess.
Those two coaches, Maradona and Dunga, are worlds apart with their style.
Maradona's plan is written on the back of a cigar box,
which he's lost.
two Newcastle United players in the squad as well.
Yeah, Cambiasso and Zanetti, Italian league and cup double winners and possibly Champions League winners will not be there.
No,
the real tragedy with that is that this will be their last World Cup.
That's right.
Yeah. One of the best defensive players of the last 15 years.
The thing is, to be honest though, Cambiasso did have a torrid time before in an Argentina shirt.
He's never been picked by Maradona consistently, either.
No, so... to be honest, I think he's he's worth taking. Mm.
But he's got like three central midfielders in that squad.
Yeah,
crazy.
He's not got many in there.
Varane's there, and he's like 35.
Yeah, he's built his team around with Varane a little bit, though. Varane has been decent, but it's difficult to judge them between Europe and South America, isn't it?
That's right. Zanetti's a funny one, to play so well against someone like Lionel Messi.
Can we all just take a moment to at least acknowledge that Zanetti's a brilliant player?
Oh, absolutely, and he's been consistently for a long time.
Did he score a great goal against England in 98? Was that the
free kick?
Was him who tucked that one away. Yeah. Also, I've reason to believe from our friends at southamericanfootball.co.uk that Diego Milito will miss out.
Instead of St. Martin or
he's got
there.
Yeah, he's got...
Well, St. Martin's going to go, definitely.
Yeah, so I think Milito's going
to
be the one.
Just scored the goal to secure into the title.
Yeah, Cambiasso's a net in Milito.
Not good enough, pal.
If you play for Inter, he's not interested.
Look at their forward line, though, and someone's going to miss out. I mean, there's so
many... Martin Palermo!
I know, but of course it should be Palermo. Cares? But even so, I mean, look at... If you take Palermo out of the equation, you've got Tevez, Messi, Higuain, Aguero, Di Maria. It's...
Di Maria will play a bit deeper than that, but I understand what you're saying. For me, Melito's got to go into the Palermo. Melito has been great this season. He's scored goals that's won into Serie A. Yeah. They've won the cup. They'll probably win the Champions League as well. With their favourites too. He's done well enough.
He has done well enough. Ramon Domenech, the dislikable French manager.
He's out on his ear, I think, after the tournament.
I think Laurent Blanc's going to take over.
I think that's an odd one, because Blanc's very young as a manager.
Yeah.
Very good, though. He's done well. He's had a good season. Patrick Vieira's not going. I didn't think that was a massive surprise.
No real shock there.
Karim Benzema is not going.
He's been in and out of Real Madrid, though.
Yeah, but Real Madrid is always one of the most regrettable transfer destinations, so it's proved again.
Well, Steve McManaman and others might disagree with you.
Yeah, but there are many that would probably agree with you. I'm sure you yourself can agree.
Well, Nasri's not surprised.
Yeah, I didn't get in the team.
Nasri's probably missed out because his star hasn't fell in the right place.
And well, Nasri's had a good season.
He's had a very good season. Yeah.
He's a good player, isn't he?
And then the other, I suppose, high profile names that aren't going is Totti, but we talked about that before, I think. And Michael Ballack, he's got injured in the FA Cup final.
Oi. Got murked by the prince.
He did. It's funny because he's going to be playing for Ghana, possibly against Germany.
They will do him.
Winter was piping up saying that.
Was he?
Henry Winter piped up saying something like,
Michael Owen.
I've looked at the Boateng challenge again and it was definitely malicious. I hope he's rung him to apologise. It's like, what? What were you talking about? It was a poor challenge. Just the way it goes. I'm sure we didn't mean to injure
him. It was pretty bad, though.
Ah, that's all right.
It's a real shame that Ballack, because, I mean, you know...
It's his last one, isn't it? Really?
His last one. Yeah. And he's their captain,
always
is he not?
Always a bridesmaid, Ballack. Yeah, he is. Always a bridesmaid. He's lost so many big finals as well.
Yeah, but... Oh, he's actually won, he's been crocked out of,
which is such a shame.
Yeah.
Everything's a shame tonight, isn't it?
It's all just a big shame. That's right.
I'm Gary Lineker and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Emails!
Oh, militant. And I liked it. Pete, what have you got in your hand?
I've got some dirt.
And the other hand.
And a penguin biscuit.
An email.
It's like you've dug up an email.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a penguin.
I'll apologise now. I'm a little bit hungover, so I'm probably not the greatest
ATP,
speaking voice.
Was it? It's a bit late for that. We just heard you for half hour.
Read it, damn you.
This is from a man called Ryan McCormack from Limerick in Ireland.
Oh.
I think I've got Ryan. Ryan. Was she right? Yeah.
Oh, Ryan.
Dear Ramblers, I thought I'd interest you in a story that happened to me recently after the Republic of Ireland beat South Africa in a friendly, thanks to Liam Lawrence's free kick.
Lovely free kick it was.
Yeah.
I'm a manager at Trinity Room, which is a local nightclub in Limerick near Thormond Park, where the match was played. That night I was working when who should turn up into the VIP area but Everton's Stephen Pienaar.
Ooh. Oh, lovely.
The rest of the evening was a surreal experience as he told me some amazing yet unbelievably funny stories, such as he wishes to be from the Ivory Coast because South Africa are rubbish.
Could have picked anywhere.
Very odd. He said he hasn't seen his bank account since he moved to Everton. And if he wants anything, he just tells his man, like an assistant or something.
Sounds like he doesn't even know the guy's name.
He wants to get internet banking.
And he buys it for him. And he just says, right. Okay, Dave, can you get me this? Can you get me a toaster?
Yes, that will be £10,000.
His name might not be Dave.
Yeah.
We should offer our own services. I'm a bugger for consumer electronics. Oh my days.
Is that you officially chucking your hat into the ring?
Yes. Any affluent footballers wants to
who specifically want to purchase consumer electronics through a third party should come to Pete Donaldson.
I am a git for confectionery.
Big see that
out there.
I like gold. Gold bars.
And if you need someone to do a shift for you up front, then
so maybe
you?
You said it.
Anyway, the favourite story that came from that night was that he has a fantasy football team named Stephen's Bitches. Stephen's Biatches. But he didn't put himself on it because if he was on it, he would try and shoot from everywhere to transfer. For all the points. But he does have Tim Cahill on it, and he was pissed off when Tim was injured at the start of the season. Top man, that fella. Keep up the good work, Ryan McCormack.
I love the idea of that. It reminds me of when, do you remember Dario Hubner?
Yeah.
He used to be a massive proponent of Champ Manager. Apparently, he always used to sign himself for like Juventus. He used to like go onto it, start up his career as Juventus, and just sign himself, playing sort of front every game.
I think he would very quickly understand that the rest of the world doesn't doesn't probably rate him as much as
no exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my heading's like 80.
Yeah, my pace is 4. Oh dear,
James, you've got one.
Oh, hello, Football Ramble.
Oh, hello.
That's where it says. As you may know, on Saturday, 8th of May, the FA Trophy final took place at Wembley and was won by my local team, Barrow AFC. Now, I don't claim to be a fan, as with many people in my town, I support one of two teams, United or Liverpool. And I didn't go to the game, but 10,000 other Barrovians did.
I saw a load of Barrow fans on the tube, actually.
On the Sunday, I was coming out of the pub after watching United just fall short of the league, and the streets were lined with people wearing the blue and white of Barrow, and I saw the open top bus with the Barrow players on the top deck coming down the main street towards the town hall. I decided to follow the bus on its route to the town hall, where there must have been between 4,000 and 5,000 people clad in blue and white with hats, scarves, flags, the whole lot, and I stood out in the red of Manchester. Ooh. At home this season, Barrow got crowds of between 900 and tops 1,200, which prompted the Barrow players, who had obviously been celebrating for some time, to start singing, "Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you when we're at home? And do you even know our names?" This got a lot of laughs and cheers, and many people joined in. Well done, the Barrow lads. Keep rambling. Looking forward to a few great months of football. That's from Will McAllister in Barrow. Thank you very much, Will.
Great stuff, fond of that. That is brilliant.
Superb.
Do you even know our names?
That's great stuff.
Lovely.
That's what they say about when Blackburn Rovers won the Premier League. When, I can't remember what it was he said it. It might have been Doug Leash, who was obviously the manager at the time, said that the amount of Blackburn fans he sees now, if every single one of them said, who said they were there at Ewood Park when they won the Premier League, yeah, were there now, they'd have 100,000 every week. That's great stuff. Barrow players, brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the fact they acknowledge that.
That's, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Mm.
So you reckon one of them just went at one stage, oh, it must be about 4,000 or 5,000.
Maybe they know most of the fans. Like, who are these people? Yeah.
Good people, it's profile time.
I can't wait.
Can't you?
My favourite part of the show.
Waiting's over. Waiting's over, big boy.
See ya.
Christo Stoichkov.
Good. Is that his name?
Yeah, that is his name, isn't it?
Stoichkov Square.
The Dagger.
Yeah, is that his nickname?
That's his nickname.
The Dagger Dagger.
El Pistolero, the Gunslinger.
Is it?
Yeah, they called him in Barcelona.
A friend of mine actually used to live next door to a Bulgarian wrestler. Right.
I thought you were going to say Stoichkov then.
No,
I was
sadly.
Get him on.
May I ask you to continue?
Well, they were having this party, right, and this big guy just climbed over their fence, like climbed over and like fell off the top into their garden. He didn't speak a word of English, they couldn't get any sense out of him, and they sort of determined that he was Bulgarian, and one of them went Stoichkov, and this guy was hammered and he just went Stoichkov. It became like a theme of the night of just saying Stoichkov to this wrestler who would then just scream Stoichkov.
I thought you were going to say they said that Stoichkov's going to be here in a minute and he shit himself and run away.
Bit of a hard man that he was. A Bulgarian beauty.
Not just a hard man, but a great combination, which you rarely find these days, of hard and totally nuts.
Yeah.
He's not like
and
a gentle...
brilliant.
Yeah, of course. But he wasn't like a gentle giant who could have beaten you up if he wanted to. He generally wanted to
He'd chop your head off and spit down your neck.
Yeah. You're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. And then he'd go to work on you.
He's comparable to Roy Keane.
Yeah. I'd say a bit more mental than that.
Yeah,
okay.
A bit more predictable.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Very good player.
Yeah. That look in his eye.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. A born winner. Yeah. A born winner.
He and Romario were in the same team.
Yeah, that's what I said when Marcus Ramsey earlier on in the week. I said, reasons that football is great, Romario and Stoichkov up front in the same team. Imagine it. Imagine the team talks. Just going past all the players. Right, you do this, do that.
No!
Romario and Stoichkov. Just miss them out. Yeah.
Just do your stuff, guys.
Just, boys.
I'll do what you want.
You can imagine himself to Romario and Stoichkov. We've got a game on Saturday, so get here for 5-2. 5-3. Get here for 5-3.
Well, we'll go on to that in a short while. He started playing for his hometown in Bulgaria. I haven't said when he was born.
No.
Ooh.
I do apologise. He was born on February the 8th, 1966.
He won the sperm race, no doubt destroying all comers in his wake.
Yeah.
All comers, so to speak.
A year before the Summer of Love as well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, he started playing for his hometown club.
Go on.
Maritza.
Well done.
First time.
Yeah.
And then his professional career, he was with Hebros between 82 and 84. And then he made a big move to CSKA Sofia. who are one of the big teams in Bulgaria.
Absolutely.
Of course. 119 appearances, 81 goals. So that got heads turning.
Yeah. Because he wasn't just a goal scorer.
That's no. right.
Because yeah.
He was so much more.
He was mercurial. He could play quite wide as well.
Well, he was a winger or a forward. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. You always think of Stoichkov as a striker, but he yeah. wasn't really.
With real good pace, especially his acceleration.
Strong as an ox as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he played for CSKA Sofia, between 84 and 90, and he won the European Golden Boot in 1989. Mm. He won a few league titles and some cups with them too. I'm going to highlight one cup final he played in, which was the 1985 Bulgarian Cup final, and that was between CSKA and Levski. And this final,
it's a derby, that
it is a derby. Yeah.
And what did he do?
In this game, there was a handled goal, two dubious penalties, two red cards, a series of scuffles, and an incident which the referee was twice struck by the Levski keeper, Bobby Mihailov.
I remember Mihailov. He played for Reading as well.
That's a final that's got it all.
Yeah.
And CSKA won 2-1. And after the final whistle, there was a big brawl, and it all went mental.
Stoichkov responsible for all of that?
He was 19 at the time. Five players were given life bans. Life bans.
Wow. I like to think Stoichkov was, but he just ignored it.
Yeah. Well, a number of them who later on played for Bulgaria in the World Cup were given life bans. But
it just got rescinded.
Well, the bans were rescinded in the end. But after the ban, as I said, he did win the European Golden Boot in 1989. 38 goals in 30 games in the 89-90 season.
Glorious.
Man, that's nearly one in two, if my maths is right.
Yeah, your maths is seldom wrong.
However...
and he was, he caught the eye and was signed up by none other than Barcelona. Now, it's worth mentioning that Bulgaria's, up until 1990, were banned from moving abroad to play until they reached the age of 28.
Oh, right.
Weird.
That's very late, isn't it?
So I think he was 24 when he moved. So yeah, the restriction was lifted after the World Cup in Italy.
He absolutely loved at Barcelona as well.
Yeah, big time. Big time. He signed in 1990. And he was an important part of that Barcelona side, which was one of the most successful periods in their history.
It was a dream team.
They won the European Cup, now Champions
92,
League, in 92.
Beat Sampdoria in the final.
That's right.
Ronald Koeman winner, extra time.
Yes. Wembley.
It was at Wembley as well,
I think he hit the post in that game.
Yeah, actually. One of the big things about that was that I think Barcelona were about to go out to Kaiserslautern was it Baquero? Do you remember Baquero?
Yeah, oh yeah. He's got good hair, Baquero.
He scored a last minute goal, so they went for an away goals.
Good hair, Baquero.
Yeah, he's a great player as well.
Yeah, he was good.
And that season was the season where they had sort of a knockout thing, where it was just like a set of knockout games.
Yep.
For the first and second round. Then they had two groups, and the winner of each group went through to the final. That's Barcelona and Sampdoria won each group.
Yeah.
Really odd format.
Yes. Was it ever repeated?
It was repeated the year after.
Once or twice, yeah, but that was it.
When Milan and Marseille was.
Yeah, but did he hit the. Yeah, you say he hit the post in the final.
I think he hit the post in the final, yeah. He also. They won. Was it four league titles in a row, I think?
Yeah,
between
they did,
91 and 94.
Under Cruyff.
Under Cruyff. Loved by the fans, absolutely loved by the fans. And they said that he was taken to the supporters' hearts, like some of the famous Barcelona players was, like Cruyff and even Maradona, you know. Mm. However, one has to mention that in his first season with the club, straight from the start, he was suspended for 2 months. This was for stomping on a referee's foot.
Really cartoon way to get it. For a couple of months.
Well, apparently he was fouled by an opposition player, and Cruyff and the whole bench were, you know, whinging about this and shouting at the referee to produce like a red card for the opposition player. And I think he turned around and was like, oh, he calmed down to the bench. And as he turned back towards the pitch, Stoichkov leapt to his feet and closed in and bang, stamped on his foot. Not having any of that.
Nasty. Only 2 months.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? Cruyff and Stoichkov funnily enough, fell out.
Really?
Yeah. You wouldn't have thought
a clash
that.
Of personalities, perhaps.
That's right. And he made a famous public attack on Cruyff, did Stoichkov.
Physical?
Probably.
Just waited outside his house with a balaclava on.
And a fat camera crew.
It was in 95 at the presentation of the FIFA World Player of the Year, which his friend Romario won. And he said, you know, something's gone wrong between me and the coach. When we lose, I am the one singled out for the blame. But when we win, the whole team gets praised. And so he dug him out, basically. Yeah. And then not long after that, he was off to Parma, funnily enough. And Cruyff finished being a manager as well around that time.
Out on the beers with Stoichkov and Romario.
Imagine it. You'd never come back. you'd physically be there, but you'd be a shell of your former self. It'd be like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
It'd be like being in Vietnam for the whole war.
With them.
Yeah.
I have to point out, though, that this year, when Johan Cruyff was named an honorary president of Barcelona, Stoichkov did say, he says, Johan is like my father and he's my friend and he's been very important to me. And I've got a very good relationship with him.
This is normal. I do not get on with anyone.
Yeah. So I hope that they've patched that up.
What is this? What is this emotion you humans got?
I think this quote kind of sums Stoichkov up quite nicely with his sort of state of mind. He said, "I have always spoken what was on my mind. I am not a coward, and I'm not afraid to express my opinion, even if it is not correct."
Classic bald player as well, Stoichkov.
Balding.
Yeah, no, balding, but that was that era, wasn't it? You know,
they all were. Mm. Apart from
Lechkov was one. And the goalkeeper who had that wig.
Mihailovic.
Mihailovic. Well, I'm sure you're talking about. You're going to talk about the 94 team in a minute.
We are. Yeah. You've kind of spoiled the surprise there. He had a short spell at Parma and then returned to Barcelona with some success under Bobby Robson. They won the Cup Winners' Cup.
He was only there for a couple of years, wasn't he?
He teamed up with Ronaldo and Luis Figo. Not bad.
He was there when Ronaldo had that season with Messi's just equaled in terms of goals. Mm. 47 goals. I'm pretty sure he was there with Ronaldo then.
Right. He was with Ronaldo then. And then after that, a brief spell with CSKA Sofia, and then the twilight of his career was Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia and in... Kashua Racehall in Japan and Chicago Fire and DC United in the United States.
That's a hell of a trek, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Cruise.
He did the... it probably was.
Didn't he do something naughty in DC as well?
He did indeed. He broke a former American University College student's leg in a violent tackle in a match against DC United. And he was suspended for 2 games and fined $2,000.
2 games?
$2,000. He went to court, though, so
I thought that rumbled on for ages, that did. I remember it being a lot. Yeah, a lot.
Very much so. Stoichkov was recently recognised as Bulgaria's outstanding player of the last 50 years, which I think...
Yeah.
It's sort of standard stuff. Free kicks and penalties.
Oh, he had an absolute traction engine on him. He smacked the ball really, really hard.
That's it. So, Stoichkov is going into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Yeah. But so are some others.
Oh, right, we're going to do the 94 now.
We're going to do the Bulgaria team. The bit.
My favourite World Cup team.
Yeah. Is that right?
Well, the golden generation.
Well, I mean, because England weren't in it, I think you sort of adopt a second team. And I know Ireland were there, but I mean, like, I just really like the way the Bulgarians
played.
They played very much English.
Pete, what you're trying to say is you really, really like the way they knocked the Germans out.
Is it fair to say you like their skills?
I like their skills. Yeah. I like their power. I like their pace.
Well, they nearly didn't qualify because they were away to France in Paris and in...
Kostadinov put them through, didn't he?
Kostadinov.
That was Ginola.
That was Ginola gave the ball away, wasn't it?
Well, what happened was it was 1-1. France needed just a point and Bulgaria needed to win. And whatever happened, one team that night were going through and one team weren't. And Cantona, I think it was, put France 1-1 up. Mm. And then Bulgaria equalised. And then in injury time, deep into injury time, Ginola had the ball in the corner. And he could have just held it there, but he tried to cross it for the man. And then it missed and it went to the Bulgarian fullback. The Bulgarian fullback then, I think, passed it inside. A couple more passes later. And then Kostadinov... from a ridiculous angle, smashed it in unbelievably in the last seconds. Gerard Houllier blamed the whole thing on David Ginola.
Ginola's that international career from that point on was over.
That was so harsh. But they went through.
Kostadinov was a great player. It's easy to forget. He was FC Porto for the lion's share of his career, and he was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, it was great because Stoichkov, you know, got his chance to perform on the world stage, because a lot of people might not have heard of him, even though he was a Barcelona man and so on. So they went into the World Cup in USA 94, never having won a World Cup match prior to the tournament.
Incredible.
And they got beaten off Nigeria 3-0 in their first game, and people thought, oh, here's another whipping boys. Not much. The next game they beat Greece 4-0. I think Stoichkov got a double.
Yeah, he did.
Lechkov as well scored. And then they... People just thought, they're not much. Yeah, Greece aren't great. Everyone's kind of giving them a bit of a hammering. They're playing Argentina in the last game. They need to come up with the goods there, which they did. 2-0.
Yeah.
Stoichkov scored a great goal. The pass to set Stoichkov up for that goal is absolutely.
Was that Lechkov as well?
I can't remember who played the ball in. Bulgaria actually won that game with 10 men, I think. They they scored. Nasko Sirakov scored in the last minute.
Can you remember Bobby Mihailov, the goalkeeper?
Yes, of course.
Can you remember how he signed for Reading?
Yes.
They sent his
agent. He watched them in the playoff final.
Yeah, but he thought that was their home ground.
He thought Wembley was a home ground. I'm having a bit of this.
And when he turned up at Elm Park, he thought it was the training ground. And it was actually their stadium.
It was only in that World Cup Group D. It was only a last minute Amakachi goal for Nigeria.
Nigeria had a great side.
Yeah, they did.
Rashid Yakini.
Yeah, I remember their away kit being. It just sticks in my mind for some reason. So I love that World Cup. White with green bits in it.
Greyish, I think.
Yeah, it was grey.
Was Finidi George in that?
It would have been, yeah.
That goal Amakachi scored in the last minute against Greece, that actually denied Bulgaria the honour of topping the group.
They came third in the end.
They then beat Mexico 3-1 on penalties after that, and then along came Germany. Now,
what a run in, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So they played Germany, and obviously Germany, the holders. I mean, we all knew Germany to be the big side.
Well, Bulgaria weren't fancy at all.
Lothar Matthäus, Rudi Völler, they were all there. Bulgaria never having won a game before this tournament, and Germany hadn't failed to reach the semi-finals since 1962. I think this was due in part, there was no semi-finals in 78.
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that. This is David and Goliath stuff, it really is. And Germany got a goal up, Lothar Matthäus penalty. Then Rudi Völler had a goal...
Disallowed
being offside. Mm-hmm. And I was just watching it. I remember being a young lad watching it thinking, well, yeah, it's routine. You know, and then suddenly Stoichkov whipped in a superb free kick and it was like, hang on a minute.
And you were like, this is why World Cups are brilliant.
And then all I can remember is John Motson shouting, Lechkov!
Hamburg didn't play for Lechkov, didn't he?
He did, with a wonderful header. When he scored that, it was one of those moments where you just thought, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. It was like Lechkov had come out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great iconic photo of him just diving forward with his arms out.
That was probably the first great giant killing, you know, underdog kind of win in the World Cup for me. I remember my mate came around straight away and I opened the door to him and we both just went, ah!
And you'd shave your head into like a bald like monk cut.
That's it. It was incredible. Balakov, another good player, played for Stuttgart.
He did,
for Bulgaria. He said about the Germany game, it's difficult to explain how we managed to achieve that. Let's just say that God was a Bulgarian that summer.
Do you remember Ivanov as well?
Yeah.
Quite hard looking fellow with the hair.
I remember enjoying that all of the names ended in Ov.
Yeah.
There was a guy, I forget his name, ginger player, went to play for Aberdeen.
Oh, that guy.
Ov.
John Ov.
Was it Ov?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't they have like a massive... They were quite big drinkers and smokers and stuff.
I could imagine they were.
I'd imagine
so. They sort of said... I think it was Lechkov was interviewed quite recently and he sort of said that the FBI fellas that... were sort of
minding them.
Were minding them. They were having a great time because they were going out to nightclubs and getting drunk.
That's the team you want to look.
Let's invoke an Eastern European stereotype. 40 a day they were drinking. loads of vodka.
So they went to the semi-finals against Italy and came unstuck there. Stoichkov did score his sixth goal and was the tournament's top goal scorer with Oleg Selenko.
Selenko got five in one game
against Cameroon. Yeah. There was a blatant penalty in the second half of that match. Bulgaria should have been given, and they weren't, which is a shame. But Stoichkov said after the final whistle, echoing sort of Balakov's thoughts, he said, "God was still on our side, but the referee was French." which I don't know.
They got pumped in the.
They did, I think, third place to Sweden,
didn't they?
Yeah, they lost 4-0. What a team they were. They never achieved this really again. In Euro 96, they went out in the first round. I remember Euro 96. It was kind of like, oh, the Bulgarians are there.
They got a chance.
But they never really did anything.
That team, that World Cup 94 team, is still termed the golden generation.
Yeah. As they should be.
Yeah. They did rate their own chances better 4 years later, though.
In France,
really. They said they had a stronger squad, but for some reason they just didn't kick on and do it. Yeah.
But they didn't really do much in France 98. They got hammered by Spain, was it? I think they got beat 6-1.
I remember them being on the end of a monumental spanking. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because when you have an emergence like that, you think, oh, look, a lot of these players are going to go around Europe now. They're going to probably sign for bigger clubs. They might be here to stay. And it's a real shame when sometimes they just fade off. Because that's happened to a lot of them.
It happens all the time.
Holland could be that, for example, but they've had that staying power.
Well, look what happened with Cameroon. 1990 came from nowhere. 94 got pumped.
Even look at France. You wouldn't have tipped them to win the World Cup before it.
And the next tournament they got knocked out.
And then the tournament after they got the final.
Yeah.
It's a funny old game. if we can drag it back to Stoichkov himself. He was asked once, what is your biggest regret in football? And he thought about it and he said, the most important things I've always reached, and he said that he's, you know, has over 60 sort of cups and trophies. But he said, I remember playing with Al Nasser for the Asian Cup, and the Prince of Saudi Arabia promised a latest model Mercedes to the first player who scored. I earned a penalty for my team by the 5th minute of play. One guy was getting ready to execute the penalty, so I took the ball from his hands and told him, go rest in the shade. He said, I struck the post and had to leave without the Mercedes.
That's how he's summing his career up.
But
I'm a selfish bastard. Sometimes it bites me on the arse.
but after his highly decorated career, he was mulling it all over, and he said to himself, recently, I've been saying to myself, Christo, buddy, you're getting older, but you still have your deadly left foot. Come on in.
Welcome. What a player.
And
what a player.
Lead the World Cup squad in.
Stoichkov and Bulgaria in 94.
It's worth mentioning that he managed Bulgaria briefly as well. Yes. For a few years. 2004, 2007, I think.
Fell out with loads of the players.
Yeah. Mixed success. Now, welcome. Welcome, sir. Please don't hurt us.
Right, my darlings, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this time. If you would like to email us, then the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and the website address, which boasts all sorts of marvellous things and blogs and whatnot, is thefootballramble.com. And don't forget, we do Ramble Extra on 442.com, which is exclusive material for the chaps at 442. Lukey.
Yeah, let's reiterate what we said at the beginning. So from this week onwards, it's all about Man Month, manmonth.co.uk, a celebration of the World Cup.
We're teaming up with them, we're in.
And everything that comes with that. It's brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. There's going to be videos and blogs and rambles and all sorts of stuff like that. Don't forget, 2 rambles a week from June the 11th onwards. And you could also win some pretty good prizes starting the 4th of June, including a home cinema system, a PlayStation 3, and an Xbox 360, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so bottom line is, get over to manmonth.co.uk and we shall see you over there.
Marvellous. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
We're all off to rest in the shade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.